I certainly believe that the words that have been spoken this morning were very God-honoring, very edifying unto me. And my prayer is this morning that the same can be said of that which we hope to bring forth, that it would be glorifying unto our Father which is in heaven and edifying unto the saints of God that have gathered here this morning. I want to read to you this morning from the book of Hebrews in the 3rd chapter. I want to read the first verse and part of the second verse, and certainly beg an interest in your prayers as I'm before you. The Scripture says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him." As we read through the Word of God, there are many different offices and titles that are given to Jesus Christ. Some that come to our mind is the title and office of mediator. The Scriptures teach us that there is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. The title of mediator is given to Jesus Christ right there in that verse. We could go to the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And as we read there, as I was thinking, as Brother Tony was preaching about the widow of Nain and how the Lord Jesus Christ spoke and brought that widow's son who she was carrying to his grave back to life. And after the Scripture teaches us that he brought that boy back to life, it said that all those that stood around and glorified him as God and spake and said, "Surely there is a great prophet that is among us." The Scripture there gives the title to our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is a great prophet. And he's not just a great prophet, and he's not just a mediator. He's all those titles gathered in one. And if the Lord will be with us this morning, I want to look at one of the attributes of the greatest title that he holds, and that is that he is God manifest in the flesh. And I want to look specifically at how he is faithful in his office as being Jesus Christ and being God manifest in the flesh. The Scripture says in the first chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. The Scriptures plainly teach us that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. I know sometimes that we can get so caught up in the different jobs of the different of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Let us never forget that all three of those offices belong to God Himself, and Jesus Christ came to this earth as God in the flesh. And if the Lord will be with us this morning, I want to look at one of the descriptions of God, and that is that He's faithful. Amen. The Scripture teaches us that a faithful man, who can find? I tell you, I know some men in this world that the Lord has blessed me to come into contact with, and I can tell you, I deem them to be faithful men. I thank my God above that He has blessed me to be able to come into contact with Old Baptists and some that don't even belong to us, who I believe that are faithful men that whose word I can trust. But there's not a man's word that we can trust above the faithfulness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the most faithful of them all. And one of the things that the Scripture teaches us is that He's faithful in the things in which His Father sent Him to do here in this world. He told the saints gathered in John chapter 6, He said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of my Father which has sent me. And this is the Father's will that has sent me, that all that the Father giveth me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day." I believe that if we believe that this morning, that the Lord Jesus Christ was successful in the job that God Almighty sent Him to do, that we believe in a faithful Jesus Christ. He was faithful into the things that God sent him to do. He's a faithful Savior. I tell you, the Apostle Paul here in these words to the Hebrews, he's teaching them about something better. Is that not what we're trying to do as New Testament ministers of the Gospel, is to tell the saints of God in this world that there's something better, that there's better things, that the Lord has provided the truth in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's something better that the Lord has granted in His house here in this world. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is telling these Hebrews. He said, "Consider the Apostle and High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider Him." I know that as you look, and he's talking to these Hebrews, he's saying, "I know that you look at Moses as being faithful. But let me tell you about one that's more faithful than Moses." I tell you, I've spoken to some people that they have faithful family members. They have faithful family members who have taught them what they believe to be the Scriptures. They've taught them things about God and things about Jesus Christ. And whenever they begin to tell me some things that some of their family members, who I believe were faithful, who I believe are faithful, they tell me things that can't be found in this Word that we've got open here before us. I can remember when the Lord blessed us to start visiting the Lord's house and the Old Baptist, one of the things that my wife would continuously say is we would look and we would compare the things that were being preached to the being preached in the pulpit of the Church of the Living God to the things that are in the Word of God, and we found that they were true. And she'd say, "But I've never been taught that. I was always taught something different." I tell you, consider what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. Consider His faithful Word. Consider His faithful work that He hath done. I tell you, the Scripture says not only is His Word faithful, it teaches us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And as Brother Tony has already given us here, never man spake like this man. He spake this Word that we've got into existence here before us this morning. This is the literal inspiration of God that we've got open here before us this morning. Scripture tells us that He's a faithful Savior. That He was faithful in the work of salvation that His Father sent Him into this world to do. We read the Apostle Paul's words in the book of Ephesians in the second chapter. The Scripture says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, but that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Scripture says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith." I tell you, I'm certainly not going to go to blows with anybody who believes that that's man's faith. But I tell you, as I stand before you this morning, as I read that verse of Scripture, I believe that I'm saved by the grace of God through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. That He came into this world. That He came down off His throne in heaven and He walked in this sin-cursed world. And then He went to that cross and died for this poor sinner. And He was faithful to a jot and to a tittle to fulfill that holy law of His Father. And that He died for me on that cross. I believe that I'm saved by that grace. I believe I'm saved through His faithfulness and not faith of my own. I understand that faith is a gift of the new birth. And He gives it unto His children upon the new birth. But I tell you, it's that faithfulness that He has that saves His children. That saved His children on the cross at Calvary. We serve a faithful Father in heaven today. And I tell you, you say, "Well, I understand that. How do I, if I understand that I serve a risen Savior, that I serve, that I've gathered here, and that I worship and believe that I'm saved by grace, and that Jesus Christ was faithful unto the things in which God sent Him unto this world to do, how can I apply that to my day-to-day walk?" I tell you, child of God, that same God that was faithful in the things in which God sent Him into this world to do is still faithful on the right hand of God today and is still providing intercession unto you. He's still one that you can go to in time of need. I'm thankful that I believe in a God that was faithful when He came to this world. Because if I didn't believe that He was faithful when He came to this world and did that which God the Father sent Him to do, I wouldn't have a whole lot of confidence in that which He says He's doing for me today. But the Scripture teaches us He's just as faithful today as He was when He came into this world. He says that He's, "Wherefore, seeing that we have a high priest which is passed into the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I tell you, I believe I can go to that throne and I can pray into the successful, faithful Savior that came into this world and that died for me. I tell you, the Scripture describes Him as faithful. Consider the faithful Jesus Christ. I tell you, the Lord may have blessed you to have faithful men to come in your life and faithful brothers and sisters that have shown you some of the things in this Word. But trust in the One who was faithful and that fulfilled it and that taught you that He provided everything that the Lord required for our eternal salvation. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, but that not of yourselves." He quickens you again. He gives you the life. And it's by His faithfulness that you're there. I tell you, the Scripture tells us that not only was it through His faithfulness that He gave you the life, it tells us that it's through His faithfulness that you keep the life. He says in the book of 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter, I believe it's verses 23 and 24, He said, "May the God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole soul, spirit, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it." I tell you, the Scripture says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it." The Apostle Peter spoke in the book of 1 Peter, and he speaks about our home in heaven. He says that we're headed into we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, and that is reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. Who are kept by the power of God through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. You're kept for that home in heaven. It says it's reserved in heaven for you. I'm thankful that the Scripture teaches us that the arrangements have already been made. that the arrangements were made before the foundation of the work, that the work was done on the cross at Calvary. We're just waiting on that pickup call to come whenever we see our Savior coming in the clouds, are we not? He says it's reserved. There's a lot of people in this world that believe that it's not reserved, that it's something that we still gotta gain access to. But I tell you, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, child of grace today. You have a home in heaven reserved for you. And praise God that that reservation is not based on our faithfulness, but it's based on the faithfulness of our God in heaven. It's based on His goodness. It's based on His love. It's based on His mercy. It's not based on our merit and our faithfulness. I tell you, I've known some good men. I have to watch out whenever I speak about things of such as this, is that some people get the impression that I've never met a faithful man in this world. And I tell you, I have. But I don't want to trust my eternity to him, Brother Dan. I don't want to trust that to him. I tell you, you don't want to trust yours with me. I can tell you that. I want to trust it to God, to Jesus Christ, to the one who is faithful. I tell you, the Scripture plainly teaches that Jesus is faithful. I tell you, we can't just take the word faith and put it in a pot and stir it, and every time we reach in there to pull it out, apply the same definition to it throughout the Word of God, can we? We have to rightly divide the Word and see what is the application of how is Jesus teaching us in His Word about certain faith. I tell you, if all we did was apply the same definition to it, we'd be utterly confused in our Bible study. The Scripture plainly teaches of Jesus' faithfulness. It teaches us to exercise our faith and trust in the Heavenly Father. We can read in the Gospel according to Mark, in the 9th chapter, the Scripture teaches of one named blind Bartimaeus. That was by the wayside when our Savior passed by, and he called unto our Savior. I love that story. I love to see that no matter what mission my Lord and Savior was on, that He still takes time to see to His little sheep that are by the wayside upon their calling to Him. And what does the Lord tell him whenever He heals him? He says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." That doesn't mean that His exercise of faith granted him eternal life. He says, because you exercise the faith, you're whole in this life. And whenever we believe in a faithful Savior in heaven, we can trust and lean on Him and know that we've got a faithful Messiah. We've got a faithful Jesus Christ in heaven. I tell you, that faithfulness, it not only saved us and keeps us, it covers every sin. That faithfulness of His love towards His people covers every sin. You know, one of the Scriptures that I love to quote to people that believe, that are under the impression that if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, that you're going to hell. You know, the Lord plainly spoke. He didn't leave. You know, there's not a heresy that exists today that the Lord has not provided a way in His Word for us to refute. Right. If we study it enough and be able to rightly apply it. And sir, I'm certainly not lifting up myself as saying that I've always been able to refute it, but it's here. It's not His fault, it's ours if we haven't been able to refute it. But He says in Romans chapter 3, it speaks about those who don't believe. The Scripture teaches us, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? The Apostle Paul, he asked a question and he's fixing to answer the question. He's opened up the dialogue, if you will. He says, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, because unto them were committed the oracles of God. You know, as I read that there, you know, each and every one of us who have been blessed to be partakers of the truth here in this world need to ask ourselves, are we taking advantage of the advantage that the Lord has given us to be a part of His house? What advantage then hath we that can gather on a Friday morning, that the Lord has given liberty to be able to have jobs, if you will, that would allow us to gather here, that not only on a Friday morning, but each and every Lord's Day whenever we meet, are we taking advantage of the blessings that God has given us? I tell you, the Jews didn't, and we learn what happened to them. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, because unto them were committed the oracles of God. And the Apostle Paul asked the question, he said, but what if some do not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? In other words, child of grace today, do you ever run into somebody who tells you that if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, there's no way that you can go to heaven? I tell you, that Scripture there says, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? If you continue to read the book of Romans, over to Romans chapter 11, it says that they stumbled, that they should fall. In other words, because He blinded that nation and does not bless them with timely blessings here in this world, does it become true that they don't belong to God by grace? That they're not the elect of God? says Israel hath not attained that which it seeketh for, but election hath obtained it. I tell you, they belong to God by grace, but they don't enjoy the blessings of this world that He has given the Gentiles. And I believe the Old Baptist Church in the year 2012, they don't enjoy those things. He says, shall thou unbelief make the faith of God without effect? I tell you, Jesus is faithful to cover every sin. Unbelief is a sin. And Jesus died for that one too. He died for that one too. It's wrong, and we should never, through showing that those who don't believe could be children of God, teach that it's okay to unbelieve. We need to teach people to believe in the things that are in this book. He says that believing, you may have late things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and believing you might have life through His name. There's a life worth living in belief of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless us to exercise that belief to the extent that He has given us the light to be able to see the things here in this Word. He says, consider. Consider Jesus Christ, who was faithful. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to Him that appointed Him. I tell you, our God above teaches us, He says, wherefore I lay in Zion a cornerstone, elect, precious. He says that He appointed Jesus for His work, and He sent Him. Have we considered just how faithful He was to the things in which He sent Him to do? May the Lord bless us to be able to do that, not only so that we could praise Him for our eternal life, but that we could rest in Him for our timely blessings, for our blessings in the here and now. I tell you, that's one of the things that I've heard often, and I've never experienced it. I've heard it. There's a lot of things that I've heard that I wonder about the validity of them because I've never experienced them. And so I guess I'm just waiting for it. But one of the things that people often said is all the primitive Baptists do is preach grace, grace, grace. I don't know how to apply that. Well, I'll tell you how you apply it. You understand that the same one who saved you by His grace and was faithful in doing it is in heaven today. He's the one, as Brother Lester has said, is watching over you, that'll never forsake you, that'll never leave you. He's the same one that gave us this gospel that teaches that not only did He come into this world once and pay for our sins, but that He's coming back for us. I tell you, we've got to believe that He's faithful to that word in order to rest in the finished work of Christ, in order to have rest that we're going to be in heaven with Him one day, that we're not going to have to put up with the sins of this world forever, and that the grave is not the end all. We've got to trust in His word that He's going to be faithful to it. And may the Lord bless us to be able to do that daily. Just as much as we trust in it whenever we gather here at His house to glorify Him for His gracious works unto us. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention. Prayers continue for Brother Ronnie. Come ahead, Brother Ronnie.